This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And our guest this morning is NeighborWorks Montana's Cooperative Housing Director, Danielle Maiden.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I guess the first thing we better do is we better figure out what NeighborWorks Montana does.
So we are a statewide affordable housing organization. We have quite a few different programs. We are a HUD intermediary. So we are able to disperse HUD funds throughout the state to our partner organizations locally. That is the Community Action Partnership here. And they provide first-time homebuyer education courses and financial counseling for folks looking to buy a home.
Okay. Well, that's no small task right now.
No, for sure.
Still programs for first-time home buyers?
Yes, there is. Yes. So we also have a loan fund that can provide down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. And then we have another loan fund, our Real Estate and Development Acquisition Loan Fund, and that helps developers across the state that are looking to build affordable housing or preserve affordable housing to do that with. We have some construction financing or short-term financing to help get those off the ground. And then there's the cooperative housing programs that I run. The main one that we're really well known for is the resident-owned communities program. So we work with residents who live in manufactured housing communities in the state to organize and buy their communities at a market rate price. And then they own and operate them as cooperatives.
Yeah. Boy. Now, wasn't that one that, didn't we do one of those down in Bozeman recently?
We are working on one in Belgrade right now.
Belgrade, okay.
Yes, yeah.
I knew that
now,
was one.
Now, I know that that's a problem because when the buying frenzy took place, some organizations from out of state bought these mobile home areas, and I saw a new sign go up at one, but really no improvements other than increases in rent. And that's tough on the people that live there.
It is. Over the last few years, in particular the last 3 years here in Montana, capital companies from other states have come in and invested in some of the larger manufactured housing communities. And they, you know, they really do have a captive audience. It's really difficult to move your home out of a park if you have a place that you can move it to. And if it's in good enough condition to move, it can be upwards of $10,000 or more to move your home. And most of these folks are on pretty limited incomes. So that's a really difficult task to have. So you can, you know, raise those lot rents. You can start charging for other utilities and that type of thing outside of just the lot rents. And
so, you know, I guess the thing, my question is, when you buy a facility like that, what's the end game? I mean, do they want to just move everybody out so they can redevelop that land?
For some properties, that makes sense. Other properties, it really is the highest and best use to have a manufactured housing community there and continue to operate it as such.
Is that something that's regulated through land use? Yeah.
See, now, John, the thing
I'm just
that,
looking at zoning, you know? I mean,
yeah.
If you can,
yeah, there is
when
zoning.
When you use the term highest and best use, that usually involves zoning and land use issues.
Yeah.
That's why I brought that.
Yeah, if there is redevelopment.
See, but I haven't
there,
noticed
yeah.
the redevelopment. I've noticed the ownership changes, and talking to some of the people, there is one area that they dictated to them how they have to care for their yard, and you need to clean all this up. They, you know, and it wasn't really messy. You need to weed your garden, you know, and it, when they're elderly, that becomes a hardship if you have to hire someone. But the thing that I really noticed was that when we had the windstorm in the fall, this same community was saying, you're responsible for the tree that fell on your property.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
With resident ownership, the residents really do get a really, you know, they have a share in the membership and the cooperative. Mm-hmm. So each household has a voice in how things are operated. They vote in a board of directors that meets every month and operates the community, because when there's a windstorm, they get to make those decisions on how those things are handled. But they also vote on their annual budget, on what capital improvements are made every year in the community, and are able to really see a rent increase coming down the road when operations are getting more expensive and that kind of thing.
That's a lot like an HOA then, a homeowners association.
It is similar, yeah.
Except they own the land.
That's right.
So somebody living in one of these existing developments that is interested in seizing or having some sort of control over their destiny, can they contact you and see what they can do? Or?
Yep, they can give us a call at NeighborWorks Montana. The best thing they can do is to visit with the park owner and let them know that they're really interested in that. We're always looking for new opportunities for resident ownership. We currently have 19 resident-owned communities in the state of Montana, from Libby all the way to Billings. We have dedicated financing with Rock Capital, which is the national organization doing this work. So we're always ready to have conversations with park owners about how to give this opportunity to their residents.
You know, I was just thinking, some of the folks who have been in these places for a while, their mobile homes may not be that mobile anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And if you have to pick that up and move it again, it might just break in half.
Yeah.
So that's another part of the thing, too, when you've got that kind of control. So when you can rest that control back in the arms of the people who live there, that's generally thought to be a pretty good thing.
Yes. So we always have excited residents when we get out in the communities to be able to talk to them about the opportunity to remain in their community.
All right. So we're talking with Danielle Maiden today and with some other programs that you guys offer for home ownership, and we'll dive into some of those after this.
Have you ever signed up for a product or service and asked for more strings attached, please? I don't think so. What you do want is great service, dependability, and value. Easy, no hassles. We can help you with that. This is Cedar Hardy for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. Totally free checking at Glacier Bank is just that. Free, no fine print, no minimum balance required, and no hidden fees. When you open your account, you'll receive a gift. We hope that's okay. Glacier Bank will also buy back your checks and debit card from another financial institution and apply a $25 credit to your new account. Sound good? It is good. You can depend on Glacier Bank to deliver what we offer. No strings attached. Isn't that what you really want?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
NeighborWorks Montana Cooperative Housing Director Danielle Maiden is with us, and I'm curious to know how you came to this position.
I have been working in human services for about 15 years or so, and I actually worked here locally as the development director at the Community Action Partnership for a number of years, and my husband and I moved away. And NeighborWorks Montana was a partner organization in that work I did. And I knew when I came back, I really wanted to work for NeighborWorks Montana. They're just a stellar organization. So I reached out to their executive director 7 years ago when I got to come back home. And we figured out a way to get me into the organization. And I really fell in love with the cooperative housing work.
So let's talk about, kind of give us an idea of just the many programs that are involved. And it's more than just mobile home parks.
That's right. So one program that we are just now developing is taking that model from working in resident ownership with manufactured housing communities and applying it into stick-built properties. So we just closed on our second property down in Missoula, working with the residents to buy their place of residence and run it as a cooperative. So last year it was Wolf Avenue project down in Missoula, and we got quite a bit of media on that. And that was 8 units in an apartment building. And they were able to buy their community or their
So it becomes a co-op as opposed to a condominium situation.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And they structure it much the same, and they vote a board of directors in to make the day-to-day decisions about the property. And every household in the property has a share in the cooperative.
You know, they do this in larger cities a lot. They do it in New York a lot, particularly out in the boroughs.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a new concept, but it's a new concept for us here in Montana.
That's right. You know, in the last 3 years, our housing landscape has changed so drastically here in the state. And the things that we had done previously, like first-time home buyer assistance and that type of thing, those down payment assistance, they are still helpful, but they are not as easy to use with property values the way they are and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to get creative and figure out a way that we can be responsive in today's market. And shared equity housing really does meet a lot of those pieces. And we can be effective and still be making an impact in our community for housing and home ownership.
Okay, how does shared equity work? It's complicated.
Yes, yes. So for shared equity, you know, it's the same structure we use in the resident-owned communities model. Every household has the same amount of equity within that cooperative.
Okay.
So in resident-owned communities, there's a $100 membership fee, and each household gets one vote based off of that membership. In these other cooperatives, there's a little bit different of a structure. There are higher share amounts, right? So we did share loans for some of the households up to $10,000 in these communities in Missoula is where we're at for their share. And that gives them the one vote, and it does accrue some equity over time. So when they sell their share, they do have a little bit more than they came in with to leave and hopefully apply to another home ownership opportunity or something similar.
Because I've heard of the shared equity thing before with someone who buys a home and rents it, so they get a buy-in from the renter to maintain it well.
Oh, yeah.
And so whatever it appreciates, they have a share in that.
Yeah, so this is all based on home ownership, but and owner-occupied units, very similar.
Let's just say, for example, we have an apartment complex, say, let's just pick a number, 20 units. Okay, who owns that?
The cooperative.
The cooperative.
So they form a corporation that buys the property.
Okay.
And then each of them has a share in that cooperative.
Right. Now, I guess my question is, how do they buy in? I mean, where do they get the money to do that?
So we were able to work with the existing residents in each of these two communities we've worked with so far. And we, NeighborWorks Montana's loan fund, provided a share loan to each of those households, they were able to come in with the equity themselves to purchase the share.
And so once then they have actually a piece of the ownership in it, when they leave, they sell that ownership and maybe a little bit of a profit to go with. Is there some limit on how much they can profit?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. It's similar to Habitat for Humanity in that way, in that, you know, you can only make so much money off this if you sell it.
That's right.
We're not doing this as an investment. We're doing this as a home.
That's right.
Yeah. Fantastic. What about folks? We talk about first-time buyer assistance. Let's just say that you find a beautiful home here in the traditional area of Kalispell, and you want to buy it. And how do we help those folks make that move?
So we work with local lenders throughout the state. So like Glacier Bank works with us in our first-time home buyer programs and the down payment assistance programs. So if the household qualifies, the applicants, and it falls within the threshold of the purchase prices and everything, they can access the down payment assistance through one of our lender partners.
What does it take to qualify?
Those are details that are beyond me, but you can look at our website at nwmt.org and then reaching out to your local lender. They're really the ones that are much more proficient with that piece for me.
I guess what I'm looking at here is just who can step up to the plate and say, hey, can you help me? And I mean, how much money do you have to even get started?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Those are details that I work in the cooperative housing section. Okay. So many of my colleagues are very well versed in this, but I'm not.
Okay, that's cool. So the cooperative housing thing, we do it both with manufactured homes and with existing duplexes, perhaps, even apartment buildings, even larger apartment buildings.
Yeah, even, so River Rocks is in Missoula. It's the most recent cooperative housing project we just closed on, and that has many different types of housing on there. There is a duplex stick-built home, and there's two manufactured housing units there. Mm-hmm. So, but it was all one property owned by one property owner who was really interested in making this work with us. So we can get really creative if it's the right situation, right?
All right. So there's this thing called RETA, or is it RETA?
RETA.
RETA. All right, Robin, we'll...
Lovely RETA.
We'll figure this out next. Okay.
It's time you took a break, time to relax, time to sip and sample. This is Whitney Warren for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. On October 14th, from 1 to 5, downtown Kalispell is home to the Sip and Sample Autumn Stroll. Ticket holders will receive a commemorative drinking glass and a tasting passport when they arrive to check in at the Freestone Restaurant and Bull Trout Bar at the Hilton Inn. Then hop on the downtown trolley to visit the participating venues at your leisure. Venues include Bias Brewing, Bella Italia Restaurante, Black Rifle Coffee, Brannigan's Pub, Freestone Restaurant and Bull Trout Bar, KM Bar, Mercantile Steak, Montevina Winery, The Salty Calf, and Norm News Soda Fountain. Strollers who visit all venues will be eligible for prizes. Tickets are $50, benefiting My Glacier Village, serving our area seniors. Go to myglaciervillage.com to buy your ticket to ride.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Nice conversation today with Danielle Maiden, who saw NeighborWorks as a place that she could make a difference, and she got the gig. She's the Montana Cooperative Housing Director there. And we've been hearing about a big deal right now, and that is solving housing problems. And you have programs that do that. John mentioned RETA. What is that?
That is our Real Estate Development and Acquisition Loan Fund that we have.
Okay. And what does one do? What can it accomplish for me if I'm wanting to buy?
So the RETA loan program is more set up for developers of affordable housing projects. So here in Kalispell, we have a new affordable housing development going in on Meridian called Junegrass Place. That's being developed by Homeward out of Missoula. But we as a partner are providing some of the financing for that project to take place.
Okay. Now I kind of wondered, business operates to make a profit, or else it really isn't worthwhile if it costs the money. So how does that work with I'm guessing the developer or the builder is one step, and then the owner of the project is another one. Or in this case, is the developer also the builder?
Yeah, so the developer is the builder and the owner, Homeward, and they were able to get low-income tax credits for that project. And so we really are more of a gap financing just to really get it off the ground and completed. So often folks will come to us with the RETA program for more of a short-term loan until they can get their permanent financing from an established local bank or another lender.
Okay. Does the entire development then fall under RETA, or is it only a number of units?
It's just a portion of the financing, so it's not actually the units, but it works differently in all the different projects that we do work in. So it really is project specific on how the loan fund works.
Okay, now you probably aren't involved in it. I was thinking of the what the proposal is in Whitefish, where 10% of the units would be affordable. Now, what about, you mentioned earlier, residents who are maybe in a trailer park and they just have no say in what's going on. How can that become a resident-owned community?
Really, it is having conversations with your owner and letting them know that you're interested in becoming a resident-owned community. The biggest part for us is getting out in front of park owners, letting them know that resident ownership and their residents buying their community when they're ready to sell is a really fantastic option. The residents, the financing we're able to get them, they pay market rate just as another investor would do in the process. And we work really well with the park owners to purchase.
Okay. So, I think that perhaps those residents in a trailer park who have had no say, and it's owned by an out-of-state organization and they just have a local owner, may feel kind of at a disadvantage. Can you offer advice for them as far as the steps that need to be taken? I'm just wondering how to grab the bull by the horns.
Yes,
right now you feel like a victim. How can I change this?
Yeah, and they can reach out to us at NeighborWorks Montana to have some conversations that are more specific to the situation they're living in. And then us being able to, if we know that they're interested, then we can really put that on a priority list for us reaching out to the park owners as well and making offers for the residents.
Okay, now how do
they
get a
hold of you? That's one thing that you make an interesting point here, Robin. I want to spend a minute here. So if you are living in a manufactured home park and you kind of get wind that maybe there's a buyer out there, that's the time to have the conversation with the owner before that ball drops. Because once that ball drops, it becomes exponentially more expensive to do the same thing.
That's right. It is really interesting because in other states in the country, there is opportunity to purchase or OTP legislation in place that requires a park owner to notify the residents prior to going under contract with another buyer and give them the opportunity to put an offer in. And if they're able to, match or make a better offer than the other investor, then they sell to the residents. We don't have that in Montana. But thankfully, we do have some really fantastic park owners in the state of Montana. There's so many smaller communities, 100 units or less in Montana, that have been created by families. They've been managed by the same families for a long time. And as you mentioned, there's people who live in these communities for a number of years, decades. And often they become really close with the park owners. And so those park owners have the best interest of their residents in mind. And that's really often the folks who give me a call really interested when, they're ready to sell their park. They want to give that opportunity to their residents before putting it out there on the open market.
Well, having that great relationship with the park owners is really a benefit.
Yes, it is for sure.
This has been a real great conversation. I've wondered about things like this. I know we had some legislation in the last legislature about one of these, what do you call it, OTP?
Yes.
And it did not pass. And it was interesting. Some of the people came across with their objections to it. I thought that was pretty fascinating. So maybe next time around.
Yes. It might happen.
All right.
Thanks, Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle
Maiden.
This neighbor, just remember this, NeighborWorks Montana Cooperative Housing. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.